Amen. Thank you, Miss Linda. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, church. Good morning. It's so good to see you here in person. Those watching online, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. If you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest. We thank you for choosing to be with us. And there's a QR code on the pew in front of you on the screen. We just ask you to take a minute, scan that with your smart device, so we get to know you a little bit better. And at the end of the service, there's a special gift for you waiting out here in our welcome center. But we've come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. So let's stand together as we worship. This morning we can proclaim that the battle belongs to God. He is in complete control no matter what's going on in your life this morning. You can call on Him and claim victory because He is our God. Let's sing this great song together.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you.
All right, let me hear you. Come on.
So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Thank you.
church. Amen. We have a reason to sing. It's because of him this morning. Come on, let's sing it.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow.
Mary, come on.
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the
Aren't you thankful for the name of Jesus this morning, church? Amen. Aren't you thankful for the name that breaks every chain? The chains of sin, the chains of bondage, the chains of pain, the chains of sickness. This morning, we believe in the name of Jesus. We believe in our great physician. We believe in our healer. We believe in our merciful God who loves us unconditionally and provides us grace every day. So no matter what you're going through this morning, know that He is God.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life.
Come on, church, let's go.
If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. If you got chains, He's a chain breaker.
We believe that this morning. Amen. Amen.
Got pain.
church. Let me hear you. Let's go.
If you believe it,
come on.
If you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Amen. Are we thankful for that this morning? Amen. Let's sing this great hymn of the faith together.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
Can you put that back up for us, Andy? This is the verse that excites me the most, church. Knowing that my earthly body will pass away, but I will be fully healed in His sight. I will be complete in His sight. With the ransom and glory, our precious Jesus' face we shall see.
That's right.
'Twill be our joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. That is the promise that we have this morning, and the promise we have forever. So I want to sing that verse again. And I want us to sing it as if we're seeing the face of Jesus. Ready? Here we go.
When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
Oh, come on, sing it, church. Morning, church. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. My name is James Coleman. I'm the youth minister here at Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church, and I'd like to extend a special welcome to any of you that is new. This is your first time here with us. Maybe you've been here a couple of times. Thank you for coming back. I wanted to lead us in our prayer time this morning. We're going to pray for Pastor Todd, too, because cheer too hard with that UK game, I guess. Right. No, he'll tell the truth when we get up here. So, prayer is a privilege. As we sang in that song, that we will see Jesus' face in glory. That day gets closer and closer with everyone that passes. Do you realize that? We are closer to Jesus' return today than we were yesterday. And we ought to live every single moment, every moment, as if he could come back the next. And I wonder how often we forget that in our daily lives. But it's a privilege to pray. It's a privilege to pray. I try to tell that to the students every time I ask someone else to pray for our youth services. So if you're here this morning, you've got something on your heart, you've got something on your mind that just is weighing on you. I had stuff on my mind last night that I woke up this morning carrying. Maybe you're like me this morning. You've got something you're carrying. I want to invite you to come up and let's pray at the altar. Let's lay it at the foot of the cross and get Jesus to help us with it. Because we are not meant to carry these things alone. And I also want to extend the invitation. If anyone feels like they need to place their hand on someone's shoulder and pray for someone, That's how we encourage one another here in the body, is we lay hands on. We pray for healings. And we trust God in all the outcomes. Can we pray together this morning? Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God, that we can trust you with everything. God, we lift your name on high because you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God who led the Israelites through the wilderness. You're the God who showed up in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You're the God who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. And God, you're the God who speaks with us now. You're the God who is faithful and just to forgive. You are the God who heals. And God, this morning, we come before you as a devoted church, as a devoted body of believers, humbly surrendering ourselves, our pride, our issues, the ways that we've fallen short of your glory. We are surrendering them at the foot of your throne. And God, we ask that you forgive us for the ways that we have fallen so short of your glory. And God, we ask for your healing. Physical healing, emotional healing, God, spiritual healing. That, God, you would bring things to resolution in our lives. That, God, you'd be with our families. God, that you would give us an opening to speak to someone who is lost. That you would go before us, Father, and prepare the hearts of our children. Prepare the hearts of our friends. Prepare the hearts of our coworkers to hear the gospel that you have given to us. Father, we ask that you make us sensitive to your voice. And help us, God, to be bold, courageous, and obedient. God, we ask that you will deliver that person that's on our heart and mind. That person, God, who is maybe lost in a drug addiction. God, that person who's maybe involved in some kind of gang violence. God, that person who may just be hanging out with the wrong crowd. God, we pray that they will see your kingdom. And help us, God, to be the example of your kingdom here on earth. Help us, God, to seek after your righteousness. But God, we love you. And we trust you. And we surrender all these things. All of our power compares nothing to you. All our honor is so small compared to yours. And any mercy we could give is only but a fraction of what you can. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. For God, we surrender all these things to the name of Christ who gives us strength. And all God's people agree and said, Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
The sermon has been preached. I mean, that's wow. Thank you, worship team, choir, instrumentalists. What an awesome job again today. I always like to start with a little humor at the beginning of the message, and little is the key word. Do you all know what Elon Musk does on Halloween? He goes around trick-or-tweeting. Do you know why the mummy? These are holiday jokes, okay? Do you know why the mummy never takes a vacation day? Because he doesn't know how to unwind. Why do witches wear name tags? To know which is which. Do you know why witches have sore feet? They have candy corns. And then I had a lady after the early service went by and said, do you know what kind of pants ghosts wear? I said, no. She said, boo jeans. Do y'all want any more? Are you good? Okay, we'll cut it off right there. You know, 'tis the season to have sinus infections, to have colds, to have Kentucky crud, to have pneumonia, and even some cases of COVID. As you can see, I'm not in full voice today, so pray for me that when I am weak, then I'll be strong through Christ and allow His Spirit to speak through me. So I appreciated JT doing the prayer and scripture and Sean leading as well. But, you know, when I was young, my mother could always tell when I was not feeling well. She could say, I can see it in your eyes. And then sometimes she might ask me when I was irritable, do you feel bad? And so maybe you're here today and you're not feeling your best. And my mom could always tell when I was worried or stressed about something. She could always tell. Moms have that gift where they can tell when someone is not at their best. Years ago, Chuck Swindoll, who is a pastor, author, wrote a book called To Laugh Again. And in that book, he talked about three notorious joy stealers. The three joy stealers were stress, worry, and fear. And I'd be willing to say, in a congregation this size, you might fit in one of those categories. You're here today, and you're stressed about something. You're here today, and you're worried about something. Or maybe you're here today, and as we talked about last week, you are afraid of something that's going on right now in your life. But in our scripture passage today, we see Paul writing not from that Roman dungeon that we saw him in last week, the Mamertine Roman dungeon, but we see him yet again in another prison in Rome, his own rented house where he was being guarded, but he was able to impart the gospel to those who would come. And we know that Paul was writing for several reasons. One, to thank the Philippians because they had sent him an offering or a gift when they learned of his detainment or detention in Rome. We also know that he was writing to report on his own circumstances, to update the folks what was going on in his life. But one of the primary reasons he wrote was to encourage the church, to encourage them to stand firm in the face of persecution and to rejoice regardless of their circumstance. And so, when we're sick, normally we'll go to the doctor and they'll give us a prescription, give us some medicine to get well. Or then there are some times that we try to tough it out and we don't go to the doctor and we just try to get through it. And so there are times that that's how we do it. We try to get through it. But many times it's better if we have a prescription. In our scripture today, I believe Paul gives us a prescription to cure what ails us. And I can tell that some of you are here, I can see it in your eyes, that you're stressed or worried about something or afraid of something. It's possible you're here and you are battling some sickness, or maybe you are, your life couldn't be better right now, and I pray that's the case. But no matter what's going on right now, may these very familiar words to many of us, new to others, be just the medicine that the doctor ordered. The first step in us getting through our times of worry and stress and fear or whatever's happening is to rejoice. Verse 4, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. Well, it was worth repeating, wasn't it? There was an emphasis to rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. So we know that Paul is making the point that we need to rejoice always. As a matter of fact, excuse me, in this short letter, Paul uses the word joy or rejoicing 16 times in just 4 chapters. So he's wanting to make the point clear that we need to rejoice. He was in prison, not knowing the outcome of what was to happen the next day, and yet he was saying to rejoice. And I pray that that's exactly what we would do, no matter our circumstance, no matter our situation, that we would rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say it, rejoice. Tom Rainer, who is a former CEO and president of Lifeway Ministries, wrote a little book. Jim, I'll take that water if you're bringing it to me. You are getting me all choked up today. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I've got a pocket full of cinnamons, cough drops, butterscotch. Bryn Follis, one of our members, bless his heart, he went and got me a green tea from hot tea from Starbucks. And I asked him what he put in it. If I start slurring during the middle of this sermon, I don't know what he put in it, but I appreciate it. Thank you. But do y'all remember where I was in the sermon? Tom Rainer, who is former president and CEO of Lifeway, wrote a little book called I Will. And in that book, he talked about 2 different kinds of people in the church. And he used an acronym. One was the GCM and then the JCM. And the GCM, the acronym, stood for Grumpy Church Member. And he said, the definition of a GCM is someone who is persistent in criticizing the pastor, the staff, the ministries of the church. They are always complaining, and they are always fault-finding in anything that goes on at the church. And then he said, there's the JCM. That's the joyous church member. He said, these are people that are always blessed. They come to church grateful that they can worship with God's people. They are constantly encouraging the pastor, the staff, and encouraging one another. I want to ask you today, are you a GCM or a JCM? I pray. While I drink my water, Anita will take over. But I am so grateful that I can look and see that many of you all have the joy of the Lord. I think about out of Nehemiah 8:10, He said, "Do not grieve or have sorrow, but the joy of the Lord is your strength." I think about what Jesus said in John 15:11, when he said, "I've told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." And what was he talking about? A few verses prior to that, Jesus said, "As my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So remain in my love." That's why they can have joy. That's why we can have joy, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you and what he's done for me. I think about what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So we are to have a joy or a rejoicing constantly in our lives. And I pray somebody's wind chimes are going off today. This is an anything goes Sunday, so take your shoes off if you want. We're going to have a good time today, I can see that. Years ago, I went to visit a sweet lady in our church who I've referred to before, Dido Alexander. And Dido lived out in Jet, right by the Starbucks and that white house that has the garage that went into the side of the hill. And she drove an El Camino. And I remember one day going to visit Dido, and inside of her house that she was born in, that house, lived there her whole life, there was a gentleman who was there that day, first time I'd met him. And as we began to talk in Dido's living room or parlor or sitting room, this man began to tell me his story. He began to tell me how he had battled alcoholism. He began to tell me how he had some other health issues that were going on. And as he was sharing these things, I thought about the story that I had shared on my first Sunday here and the story I shared with you all back in July, the story of the fork and the best is yet to come. Now, I'm not going to tell that story again right now. If you don't know it, get somebody to tell it to you. But as I shared that story with him, tears began to go down his face. I felt the Holy Spirit in Dido's living room, and I felt like he was being convicted. So I asked my friend if he had ever given his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And he said, "No, I haven't." And I said, "Would you like to do that?" And as tears streamed down his face, he said, "Yes, I would." And I said, "Would you want to do that right now?" And he said, "I sure would." And there he prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart and to forgive him of his sin. And he became a Christian that day. And he would follow through with believer's baptism. A short time after that, my friend was having some headaches. And he went to the doctor and he was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And they needed to go in and do surgery. I remember going to Louisville, being with him in pre-op as they were prepping him for this very serious surgery. They said, I believe, if I'm correct, he had about a 10% chance to make it. And I remember praying with him, and I remember like it was yesterday, my friend saying, "Todd, if I don't make it, I know I'm going to heaven. But if I do, I'm going to tell as many people about Jesus as I can and try to lead as many people to the Lord as I possibly can." Well, they went to remove this brain tumor. They found out that he also had an aneurysm on the other side of his brain. They removed the tumor, repaired the aneurysm, and he lived through it. And he was true to his word. That man was David Johnson. David Johnson would come here and open up the church for the early service, turn on the lights, unlock the doors. And every Sunday, he was usually the first one here, and I was the second one here. He would pull out of his shirt pocket a fork, and he would say, "This is the day, brother, this is the day." And he was referring to Psalm 118:24. "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And I am so grateful that through the years, David did indeed bring co-workers to this church where they received Christ and were baptized. And I had the honor of preaching David's funeral a few years ago and sharing his story. He drove a black Corvette, and on the license plate had the initials "For the best is yet to come" on his license plate. And now that license plate is up on my bookshelf in my office as a witness when people say, "What does that stand for?" And I'll say, "I'm glad that you asked." But today, the first step of this prescription is to rejoice. But then the second part of this prescription is to relax. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Verse 5, "Let your gentleness be evident to everyone." Well, some translations say, "Let your forbearing spirit," or again, "your Christ-like consideration." In our words, it might be laid back, to be laid back. And just to take life a little bit more easygoing, to be gentle is to be like Christ. And when I think about relaxing, you know, I think about us not worrying. There's some of you here today and you are wound way too tight. And you are quick to explode at the smallest thing when we need to learn to relax, or as my youngest would say, to chillax. And we need to just allow life not to be constantly so serious. Jesus said in Matthew 6:27, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to their life?" And then he said in verse 34 of Matthew 6, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And so we are not to worry so much and to not allow that to overcome our lives. Do you know how to relax when you're at home, or relax when you have a moment? COVID was a terrible thing. I pray we never go through a worldwide pandemic again, and the losses we had and the uncertainty and the fear and the worry. There were a few things good that came from COVID. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed having some quality time relaxing with my family. I mean, our family learned to go sit on the back porch together. And there, my daughter learned to play guitar during COVID. And we'd sing worship songs and sing. When the weather turned cold, we had a fire pit. And we'd make s'mores and roast marshmallows. And then we would take family walks, all five of us, around the neighborhood. We would watch movies together and watch the Chosen series and had just some sweet times together. It's sad that it takes something like a worldwide pandemic before we realize just how important it is for us to spend some time relaxing in God's favor and His grace and spending quality time with family. How many of us have gone right back to the same old schedules on the go? We ate together around the table. And a lot of times, you know, it's me grabbing something there, grabbing something here. And we would eat around the table together. That's what we must do, that we would get back to relaxing. Let your gentleness, your laid-backness, your trust in the Lord be obvious and evident to everyone. But so many times we worry, don't we? Dr. David Jeremiah gave these statistics. 40% of what people worry about never happened. 30% of what people worry about many times deal with neighbors or friendships not based on fact or evidence. And so many times, 12% people worry about health issues even when they're not ill. Or people will worry about, something that actually has some realistic value, basis of reality in your life, but never come to fruition. And so we come to understand that the majority of things we worry about never happen. And many times we do worry about things, as my dad used to say, that don't mount to a hill of beans. And I pray today that you would not be stressed and worried, but that you would just relax. And lastly, that you would rest. That's the third part of this prescription, that you would rest. He said, let your gentleness be evident to all. Second part of verse 5, the Lord is near. And then here's the part you've heard so many times. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? When it says the Lord is near, I believe it means a couple of things. First of all, I believe that it means the Lord is always near to His children. He told us in that great commission, Matthew 28, verse 20, and surely I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Hebrews 13, 5, He said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Remember when Isaiah prophesied about the coming of Christ, the Messiah? He said that there would be a virgin and she would give birth to a son and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us and He's close to the brokenhearted. But I also believe that it means that the return of Christ is imminent, that it's near. Think about that. Paul was saying the Lord is near then. How much closer is He now when it says the Lord is near? Are you ready for the Lord's return? Have you placed your faith and trust in Him? And you know what the opposite of worry and stress is? Peace. And Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And I don't give as the world gives peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And that's when Paul said, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that beautiful? It's an ongoing invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Maybe you're here today and you've been bombarded with life and the craziness and the stress and the worry and the fear and the sickness and the sin and the addiction and all the junk that life throws at us. And yet Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll bring you peace. And we know that we have peace through Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've never given your heart and life to him, why not today? Like my friend, I'm ready. I'm ready to give my life to Christ. Or maybe you're a Christian and your life has gotten off track and you know it has. And the Holy Spirit's been convicting you, saying it's time to get your life back to where it needs to be. You know you're not at true peace. You know, this past week I had a dear godly friend who sent Kelly and me a text saying that they did not get the report they had hoped for at the doctor. But they said, I feel a sweet peace from God that comes through faith in him. And I believe that with all my heart, that God gives a sweet peace to us no matter what we're going through when we place our faith and trust in him. What about you today? If you don't feel a peace, then come receive it. The invitation is there. Come to me. If you've been trying to get through it on your own strength, trying to tough through it like some of us hardheads do, you need someone that has more power and strength than yourself. You need the power of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you're looking to join a church family. This is a field hospital for the sin, sick, and hurting. We'd love for you to join us. However the Holy Spirit leads, we're going to pray and then we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And my prayer is that you would just place your faith and trust in the Lord and allow him to save you and to give you that peace that passes all understanding. May we pray together. Father, I pray right now, in the midst of this time of commitment, that if there are folks here who've never given their heart and life to Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation for someone, that they would not be embarrassed or ashamed, but they would come just as they are. Father, I pray for Christians maybe today that have been bogged down with the heaviness of life, and I pray they would come today to receive, God, that joy that you offer, and that we would allow that joy and peace to come into our hearts. Or, Father, if there are church families, people looking for a church family, that they would find a place of love and acceptance and forgiveness here. But, oh, God, we just love you so much. We ask again, Lord, now you would give us the courage to do what you're leading us to do. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to invite you to come, stand, make the greatest decision of your life. Won't you come?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go go with me, still I will. follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back.
You all so much for being here today, and I'm so sorry again to having to listen to me sound like this, but I'm grateful that God enabled me to get through it and for you to get through it. And God is faithful, but know how much God loves you, and we love you too. And Sean's going to finish up for me in sharing some special announcements, but I hope you'll come back and worship with us again real soon. Have a blessed week.
Once again, if you're a guest this morning, thank you for being here. We have a gift for you right here in our Welcome Center, so I encourage you to stop by there and see Pastor Todd on your way out. Tonight is Trunk or Treasures. This is an exciting time for us, but due to the weather, we are moving it indoors to our Cross Center. It begins at 4 p.m. It's from 4 to 6 p.m. It's a great opportunity for us to minister to our community. We do ask if you are going to be handing out candy at this event or helping in any way that you arrive between 3 and 3:30 this afternoon, just so we can make sure everything's ready to go. But I think we had about 500 or so come through last year, and so it's just a really great opportunity. If you didn't have plans tonight, come and see, come and hang out with us, come and work the event, or if you have children or grandchildren, nephews, nieces, bring them along. It'll be a fun time to get them the first sugar high of many this week, I'm sure. Also, Wednesday nights, I want to invite you. It's an exciting time here on campus, Wednesday evenings. There's a lot of opportunity. We have a great meal downstairs. My brain there. And then we have an amazing amount of activities going on campus. We have our children's area, our student area. There's a lot going on. And then we have a really special prayer meeting here in the sanctuary. So please make plans to attend if you haven't done that yet either. And then lastly, this Thursday evening at 6 p.m., you're not going to miss this opportunity. We have a gospel sing with three quartets, including the Old Elkhorn Pickers. It's an exciting time for us because it's not just a concert. It's actually a benefit for the GAP ministry that we support here at the Forks. And so I want to encourage you to be here. It's 6 p.m. It'll be here in the sanctuary. It is three quartets, including the Old Elkhorn Pickers. And there will actually be a love offering we'll take up. And all those proceeds will go to the GAP ministry. And so we're very excited about that. And then lastly, there's a lot. Benevolence Fund today. It is Benevolence Fund Sunday. And so if you'd like to participate by helping, there have offering plates at the exits for you. If you have some change or a couple dollars you want to drop in there, it is a great ministry that we have helping our community in times of need. I know that was a lot, but I want to also say, please keep an eye out on the emails that are being sent out. There's a lot of activities going on here on campus, especially as we head into the Christmas season. Let's sing together, and we'll be dismissed. Oh, let's sing this great hymn.
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for today and the opportunity we've had to come together and worship. Father, we thank you that we can call on you as our great Father, our physician, our healer, our chain breaker, the one who provides us unconditional love. Grace and mercy is renewed every day. Father, I pray as we leave here and we go about our week that you give us an opportunity to show the love of Christ to someone in our path. We pray for tonight's activities. Father, may it be a great time together. Keep everyone safe as they leave here. Bring us back together again. And it's your precious name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed week. Amen.